in the world. Amen. Can be kind of rough. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We thank God for letting us be here this morning. We're going to go right ahead, and I want to welcome once again all of our visitors who are here. We praise God for you. Thank you for coming. Amen. We pray you're enjoying your time of worship here with us, and we pray you'll come again. Amen. We're going to go right ahead, not to prolong the time. It is always a blessing to get into God's word. Amen. And it's a blessing when his word gets into us. Amen. Because it is the word that makes everything work in our lives. Those things that need to work, that God wants to work in you. He does it with his word. Amen. He said that he would sanctify us by the washing with water, by the word. And the renewing by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I thank God for that. That one thing we heard somebody say this morning, the oldest and most faithful wireless connection is prayer to God. It's a wireless connection. Amen. They want to get the glory for all that now with their little cell phones and stuff. But you can an email has been around before email. Amen. So we thank God for an email. Amen. We can go send some prayer up. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. I'm going to have we have a special series of messages at this time for the holiday season. Amen. And we like to do some things. You know, those of you who have studied with us previously, you realize that one thing we're always challenged with around the holidays is bringing out some of the things that the Word says about stuff that sometimes you may not have thought about concerning your salvation. Amen. And it has been a blessing to me to look into some other passages, because some of the passages that are preached during the holidays are normally about the nativity and the virgin birth and those type of things. But I like sometimes to take your mind into some of the other deep ideas that I see tucked away in the scriptures pertaining to Christ and his advent, and how that connects with many other things in the Bible to help you have some deep thoughts to think about when you think about what God did for you. Amen. And the things that he has done for us and things that he is doing for us. I'm thankful for what God is doing right now. I'm real thankful for what he has done, because he bought me from a mighty long way. Somebody said he bought me all the way from where I was to where I presently am. Amen. And you know something else? He has promised to take you on from here. He has higher heights to take you to. Amen. And he's not done yet. He's just getting started. Amen. Ain't done yet. He's got some more work to do. Amen. And so what we want to do today is look at some of these other passages. We're going to ask that the deacons would come and share a few verses from both the Old and the New Testament. Now, these, as I said, are not commonly verses that you hear during the Christmas season. These are verses that you don't hear sometimes hardly through the year, even in some settings in churches. But we like to go in and pick out some of the deep nuggets that God has placed in some of the other parts of the Bible so that you and I can have them to chew on through the week. You know, the Bible said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He said the result of that is you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water to bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the plan I want to be on. I don't know about you. I like that, planted by the river, and whatever I do will prosper. You know, you get a lot of negative information from the world talking about what you can't do and what you better not do and what you ain't going to do. But God said, whatever you do, if you meditate in my law day and night, you will prosper. You know what? The winds of life will blow, but you'll be like a tree planted, rooted by the rivers of waters. And you will bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaf shall not wither. God said, I promise you a harvest. And whatever you do, will prosper. You know what? Sometimes you get a job, you say, well, I don't know if this job is going to work out for me. God says, whatever you do will prosper. See, and by faith, trust me, get in my word. Let it sink down into your spirit. And then take a stand, just stand. And he said, I'm going to fix it where whatever you do will prosper. You know what? I'm not going to preach early. I want to go ahead and let the deacons read here. But I happen to think about Joseph. His brother sold him down there in slavery. But he had the favor of God on his life. Everything he touched prospered, the Bible said. He was a slave, but everything he put his hand to, God blessed it and it prospered. Think about that. You know, he was enslaved and down there, and Potiphar said, boy, we got to get this guy and put him on our team. Look at the stuff he's doing over there. He got favor from everything he did. His circumstances looked bad, but you know what? He was in the Lord. He had faith in God, and everything he put his hand to prospered. So think about that as the deacons read for us from the Old and the New Testament. Amen.
Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the work that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun.
My Lord. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. May God bless the reading and hearing of the old covenant.
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Amen.
Amen. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy and inerrant word. Amen. We want to use for a topic today, living in the promised man. Now, you know what? You're so used to hearing living in the promised land that this is probably a shock to you here. Well, I want to talk to you about living in the promised man. Amen. And so, you know, we hear a lot today. In the Bible, if we were to look back, we find so many mentions that God promised Abraham from the very beginning in the book of Genesis, chapter number 12. He told him, get thee out of that country and away from your kindred, out of your father's house. Come away from everything you've been accustomed to. In other words, forget your inheritance. Come into a land that I will show you. And I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing, he said in Genesis 12, right? You remember that? Very familiar text. He told him, come away from what you've been trusting in and trust in what I'm going to set before you. Let me lead you and guide you. Forget about anything you thought you might have a little trust in all your lifetime. Walk with me by faith. You know, a lot of people today, remember the rich young ruler that Jesus talked to? He came and said, good master, what must I do to get eternal life? Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. Remember that? Keep the commandments. So, I've been doing that all my life, Lord. Somehow he said that. Like, whoa, you know, you did. But Jesus said, okay, then, well, let me put it to you this way. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, then you'll have riches in heaven. And the Bible says he went away disappointed. Wow, he wouldn't depart from the stuff he had accumulated. You know, had he have been Abraham, think of what happened if Abraham said, oh, no, God, I can't do that. I'm my father, I got these flocks and herds, and we got land and property. But Abraham didn't do that. You know what it says in Genesis 15:6? You know, it said Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. His faith in God was imputed to him for righteousness. In other words, you trust God, you believe me in what I say, and God gives you righteousness. He declares you perfect without a spot, without a blemish. Does that mean that Abraham didn't have any sin? No, does not mean that. But it means God says, I cover you, Abraham, and I'm going to bless you, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. You know, when God saved you, that he did it so you can be a blessing? Have you thought of it? He blesses you so you can be a blessing to someone else. And he said, if you walk with me, just like he did for Joseph, even though he was in an aversive situation, that my favor is going to be on you. Whatever you put your hand to do, I'm blessing it. Whatever you do shall prosper, like the psalmist says in the Psalter, Psalm number 1. I think that Psalm 1 sets the tone for the whole of the Bible in some ways. Because if you meditate in God's law day and night, he said you're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, the trees that exist now are from the seed of the original trees that God made when he made the world. And they're still here. They go on and on and on. And we have plenty of all the oranges, all the lemons, fruits, all the different types of things we need. It just continues to go on and on. This leaf does not wither. The seed is there, and it has perpetuity. It goes on for generations. Well, God's word is like that. When you put it in your mind, you trust God and you believe him by faith, you know, God always keeps his promise. So Abraham somehow received faith when God told him to leave everything you own and follow me. And he said, come into a land that I'll show you. And I'll bless you and make your name great. You know what? God's blessing on you away from anything else you were counting on is better than anything you were counting on. Because God says, I can bless you. He spoke and brought things into existence out of nothing. So it doesn't make any difference what you do. If you're walking with God, you will be blessed. God is going to bless you. He is able to prosper you. He is able to give you the things that you need. And you know what? He has to justify us, or we cannot be justified. No way we can do it ourselves. So God has always been in the business of what we call justification. In other words, he declares you not guilty, just as though you never sinned, is what justification means. It's a legal word that means not guilty. It's like when the judge is ready to make a decree and he slams the gavel down on the bench, not guilty. And you can walk out that door scot-free. See? And so that's what God does. Now, what I want you to see in the context of this, he promised Abraham a land. He said, I'm going to come into a land that I will show you. That's the promised land, and I will bless you and make your name great. The name of Abraham is really great. We're still talking about it today. This has been generations and centuries back, but we still recognize and acknowledge and talk about Abraham, the patriarch Abraham. And Isaac and Jacob, the descendants of Abraham. Now, and the interesting thing there is Abraham had no seed. He had no children. He was 75 when he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. 75 is like, okay, I'm not even thinking about having any kids now by this time. You see, by the time 75, come on now. You know, that's a long time, isn't it? Abraham probably said, okay, I'm giving up on it. And he told God at one point in the narrative, he said, Lord, you're talking about my seed, Eliezer of Damascus, my servant, is the one who's going to inherit everything I have. He said, oh, no, Abraham. He showed him. He said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And he made a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham had a seed. And his name, of course, we know before that, Sarah said, oh, well, we can't do this unless we get busy here. We got to go do something here to bring this thing on. You see what I'm saying? So you just take Hagar. She'll be all right. Deal with her. And he did. We know how that story went, right? And so basically they had Ishmael, the son of Abraham. And he said, well, Lord, just let Ishmael be the son. I'm good with him. I love him. He's a nice kid. You know, he's my son. And then, of course, God said, no, that's not the child that I promised you. See? So the promise of God is the thing I want to highlight for you today around this time. You're going to get a lot of peace in your mind. I'm praying for you all that this is the most peaceful season of Easter, not Easter, I'm talking about Easter, Christmas, that you have ever experienced. I want you to have a peace of God. Paul said the peace of God passes all understanding and let it rule your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He told the Philippians, right? If you can just get into the peace of God, let God guide you and lead you through whatever it is you need to do. What we've got stuff to do. That doesn't mean we're going to just sit around on cots and sip grapefruit juice and eggnog or anything like that. But because God has things for us to do. I'm happy about that. I'm glad God gives me assignments. I'm glad he has me on a mission. I'm glad that when somebody says something in my hearing, that he gets me in the spirit into the right mode that I need to be in order to speak the right word to them at the right time. See, and having that close connection with God is the kind of thing we want, especially in times when people are running helter-skelter, worried about who's going to get the Black Friday before me and all this kind of stuff, which really means nothing. See, but you can come to somebody and somebody's out there feeling miserable because I'm not able financially to participate in all of that. And they think that's what it's about. But the truth is, you ought to be thinking about the promise that God made. He promised Abraham after he said, come into a land, I'll show you. I'll bless you, make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I'll bless the ones who bless you, curse the ones who curse you. Then he said, and in your seed, wow, all the families of the earth. Abraham was probably good until he got to that seed part. What? A seed? All the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, that was what God promised. And we know from the book of Galatians that God had promised to send the Savior through the line of Abraham, who did not have any seed. So this is where we get our title, Living in the Promised Man. Because God promised that there will be a man that comes out of your loins. And it would be 42 generations later, Abraham didn't know that my son will come out of the line of Abraham. He'll come out of the line of Isaac. He will come out of the line of Jacob. He'll come out of the line of David, of the kings of Israel, all the way down through. And he will be born, and he is the one that I'm really looking forward to. In the process of all of that, all of you who believe me and trust me in your life will be blessed, and I will be with you, and I will prosper you, God said. You know, the church has been going on for many generations right now. What a blessing it is. This is 2016. We even divide our calendar by the birth of Christ. Been 2016 years since Jesus was born. I like to tell that to people who don't believe. So, well, why is it that your birth certificate is based on his birth certificate? You know what? Whatever date is on your birth certificate is based on the birth of Christ. And if you keep going, your tombstone will have a date based on the birth of Christ. So don't ignore Jesus. I always give that for something when I want to talk to people. I won't open the Bible because you don't believe it. But let me open the calendar for you. Let me explain to you the time in every document that's been written in the history of our country, and even longer. In fact, for the last 2,000 years, has been based on the birth of Christ. Now, what does that say to you? That tells you that God made Christ the focal point of salvation. No one else has that credential of all in all the world. You and I talk about that quite often. But let's get back to this. God promised Abraham a seed. He said, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He promised salvation to the whole world. He went on to develop Abraham as the narrative goes. Abraham had the son called Isaac. He told him, take your son, your only son whom you love in Genesis 22. And offer him at the place that I'll show you. And he led him to Mount Moriah, which is the place which eventually was known as Calvary, which is where God's own son would be crucified. And Abraham took his son and laid him on the altar and was about to sacrifice his son. And God said, Abraham, Abraham, the angel of the Lord spoke, stay your hand, sacrifice that ram over there. So he set up a sacrificial system, which was the system of a substitute dying in the place of the one who was guilty. And he took Isaac off the altar and he sacrificed the ram and he began to blow the ram's horn, which was called the shofar. And that was a symbol that God will provide. He named the name of that place. God will provide himself a lamb. And so he did. He provided a ram for Abraham to sacrifice. And that started off that particular type of sacrifice, which was done in a substitutionary manner. So what I want you to see is from the time that God gave Abraham the seed, Isaac, through whom the generations that lead up to Christ would proceed, up until the time of the kings, which would be King David. We get that narrative in the book of Matthew. We'll talk about that a little next week, Lord willing. But what I want you to see here is Ecclesiastes chapter 2 is written by Solomon, the son of David. He was looking at things from an earthly perspective. How does things appear on planet Earth, just looking at him as a human being? How does it appear here on Earth? And there are many passages that teach us about the promises that God made to the covenant people that they would inherit a land of promise. We hear that quite a bit, right? Which God stated to produce hope and destiny in their lives. He wanted them to know that I have a special place for you. I'm going to dispossess the people who are there and put you in that place. And as they were to walk with God in order to produce, they were to walk with God to see the promises that he had made come to pass. God made promises so you could see when these things happen, then you can trust me. And because of their unbelief, many of them never did get to see the things that God had promised come to pass. People didn't trust God, even though God said things. Remember when they had been in Egypt, they were there in bondage, and Moses was there as their leader. God had called him back after 40 years of being on the backside of the desert. He came back and he presented signs and wonders to the Pharaoh in that land to let them know he was God's spokesperson. And basically, the people, some of them didn't believe. And Moses, of course, was overseeing 10 different signs that God gave that were plagues to the Egyptians. They were plagues to anyone who didn't believe. See, whether they be Jew or Gentile, if you will. And some of the people didn't believe, but God used Moses to show them what faith does. And Moses came, of course, after the 10 plagues. We're not trying to exhaust all that information. We assume you know about that. When they came to the place where it was time to be delivered out of Egypt, the Pharaoh had directed the army to strike them down. He said, just strike them down. They had paid them already to leave. And they were trying to leave. And then the next thing you know, they had the enemy behind them, the Red Sea in front of them. And the Pharaoh said, kill them, get them, get rid of them. We'll just stamp them out and keep that stuff we gave them. He changed his mind. He had a change of heart. He had been doing that for all through that time. And the people didn't believe Moses. They said, Moses, look now what you got us into. See? And God told Moses, stand still and see the salvation of your God. Stretch forth your rod. And he stretched forth his rod, and we know the story. The Red Sea peeled back into two and divided in the midst. And the children of Israel went across the Red Sea on dry land. But I wanted you to see they only had 11 days they needed to make it where they were going, but it took them 40 years because they didn't believe going around a circle. Around the mountain in the land of Sinai, the wilderness of Sinai. And so God delivered the ones who did believe out of that generation, which were only Joshua and Caleb. Remember that? Or the generation that had been born in Egypt. So God goes on to set up an aristocracy with kings that came out of the line of Abraham, out of the line of Moses, were the priestly line. And they come through all the way up to King David. King David has a son named Solomon. And Solomon was granted wisdom, the most wise person that has ever lived, except for Jesus Christ himself. So Solomon writes this, and I just wanted to grab this to give us a reference here. But this is how you look at the world if you do not really trust God and have faith. Solomon looked at all the things he did with the wisdom that he had. His conclusion is here in Ecclesiastes 2:9. I was great, he said. That's where people want to be. They want to be great. And increase more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. See that? I want to rise higher than somebody else that was before me. Also, my wisdom remained with me. In other words, I never forgot anything. He had a good memory, we would say. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I indulged myself in anything that I wanted. I withheld not my heart from any joy. I explored everything. You see that? This is the way Solomon was rolling. He had it like that, if you will. He was rolling high, if you will. He said, anything that his heart desired. Notice that? For my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion for all my labor. I was looking at all the stuff I have done. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, what? All was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. He said, I looked at it all, nothing but a big stack of junk. Didn't mean a thing after I acquired all of those things. So in other words, his focus was on the wrong thing. He's letting us see that we could focus on the world and really be displeased and feel unfulfilled. Now, it's not that God doesn't want you to have stuff in the world. He does. He always blesses his people to have plenty. He promised to bless you and show you favor in everything you put your hand to. Now, why is that? Not so you can just stack up a bunch of junk. That's not the reason. But the reason is so I can show off through you. God wants to show off through you in your life, the stuff he blesses you with. He wants to show you and the world through you how he blesses his people. That's why he said, I'm going to bless them who bless you, curse him who curses you, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He wants you to pass on a legacy of godliness to another generation. And that's what he means through the seed. Solomon said, life was empty for me. I had all the wisdom, all the toys, all the junk, everything I wanted. It was vanity, striving after wind. And so basically he was not fulfilled. So this is what I want you to see here. At a time like this when people are grabbing after stuff all the time, that's all they think is important. God wants you to have some deeper fulfillment in your life. He's got deeper stuff for you. He wants you to have gratification about the reason why you're here and what you stand for, what you believe. Doesn't mean he doesn't want you to have stuff. Don't go tell somebody, oh, Pastor Fisher said God don't want us to have. No, he does. He blesses his people 100-fold. He wants you to have more, but he wants you to have the stuff. He don't want the stuff to have you. That's the difference. Solomon said, this stuff got me, but I don't really have anything. I'm empty. I come up empty. I don't have what I need. So God wants you to have plenty so he can show you off to the world and you can boast on him. And that's the big difference right there. So the deeper theme within many of these things that God had promised was the promise that of a man. Underneath some of the prophecies, you'll always find out is connected to a man who is known as the Messiah or Jesus, who would be revealed in the world as the Redeemer of all mankind. That's a theme that runs underneath all the way from Genesis 3:15, where God told the serpent, on your belly shalt you go, and dust shalt you eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise you on the head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There is this man, this promised man, that God has put in the word underneath all these things. And he is the one that we boast about, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the only acceptable mediator between God and man, which is what was fulfilled on the first Christmas when Jesus was born, with the purpose of being that sacrifice promised by God at the onset of sin. From the very beginning, God promised to send Jesus. That was his solution. And that worked out through the tribes of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when the fullness of time was come. Now, we're going to take a glimpse here quickly in the New Testament here, the book of 1 Timothy. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, says this: for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. See, here he calls God our Savior, because God is our Savior. But now God has a way to save us, and that is through the promised man. The promised man is his son, Jesus Christ. He says, notice verse number 4, 1 Timothy 2 and 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, he sets it up in verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Only one mediator, one priest, one go-between us and God. And he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. See, so the purpose of the church is to testify that God has paid the ransom for your sin. God the Son paid the debt. He is the only mediator between God and man. And so that deeper theme of Christ the Messiah running underneath all the other prophecies in the scripture is a wonderful thing. When everything has been done, the knowledge of Jesus and the fact that he alone is the chosen provided mediator between all people everywhere and Almighty God shall be revealed, and all people will be accountable to the facts about who he is, and even the Jews who now are against Christ will come to know and understand that Jesus is Lord. All that's written in prophecy already. So the promised man is Jesus Christ. He is also the stone that the builders rejected, and he has become the very head of the corner, the prophet said. See, and so he is the one who is the rock of offense and the stone of stumbling to people who don't understand who he is. But the Jews eventually will also come to know that God's most important purpose and place for fellowship is in the living living in the promised man, Jesus Christ, not so much the promised land. Although he has promised them the land also, and they will inhabit all the land God promised, which is the only place of blessing and right standing before God. You must be in Christ. Now, you know what's interesting? The phrase in Christ, this is why I say living in the promised man. The phrase in Christ is found in the Bible in the New Testament 78 times in 77 verses. In Christ. Very important. And I'm just going to give you a couple of examples. I'm not going to tell you all 77 of them. But I want you to know the term in Christ. That's where you and I are. If we're saved, we're in Christ. And you know what else? Christ is in us. The Bible in Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, because Jesus dwells in you when you trust and believe in him. Acts 24:24 says, after certain days when Felix came and his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard concerning him of the faith in Christ. And so it's faith in Christ that connects you to God. Being justified freely by his grace, Romans 3:24 says, through the redemption that is in Christ. See there? Redemption is in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24. Romans 8:1, there is now for no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. See, we don't follow the trends of the world in the flesh. We follow the leading and the guiding of God, the Holy Spirit, who lives in us. And the Bible says you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, Ephesians 4:30, for the day of redemption. And Christ is the Redeemer, and that's revealed also. Just a couple more. For Romans 8:2, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. See that? So if you're in Christ, you're in the place of blessing. So you need to be living in the promised man, and God will take you to the promised land. But you got to be in the promised man in order to get in the promised land. See, because you got to trust in Christ. Christ is the one who redeems us from the curse of the law. See, now notice this. I'm going to give you just a couple more. We're about done. Unto the church of God, this is 1 Corinthians 1:2, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. See, that's what sets you apart, is that you're sanctified, set apart in Christ. If you trust in Christ, Christ is in you, as it says in Colossians 1:27, and the Holy Spirit is in you, because he is the gift, the free gift given to whoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ. He is the one Jesus said, I got a lot more stuff to teach you guys, but you can't handle it now. But when I am gone away back to the Father, the Spirit of truth will come. He will lead you and guide you to all truth. He will teach you. He's the onboard teacher that's teaching you right now, every day. He is also the one that gives you boldness to witness. He is the one that gives you comfort, even when you sin. The Holy Spirit is grieved, but he comforts you. He doesn't want to take you out or take you down. You know what he does is he guides you and leads you back onto the right track. And he lets you know God already paid your bill through Jesus Christ. And if you're in Christ, you are covered. And so the Holy Spirit is there to comfort and lead and guide. But he said to the Corinthians, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30. So many times, 77 times, that phrase in Christ. You and I have to be in Christ. The book of Ephesians is centered on that phrase, in Christ. See, in Christ is the place to be. And if you are here today and you are not saved, we want to give you an invitation right now. We want to invite you to join us in Christ. In Christ is where you need to be. Amen. Salvation is in no other. No other name, Acts 4:12. Under heaven, which is given among men, whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the highest name that there is. No other name higher than the name of Jesus. He said, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, God is glorified when we confess Christ. So you have to have Christ. He is that mediator, the one that makes up the gap between you and I. Amen. Amen. So we thank God. If you're here today and you're not saved, I'm going to ask you to pray with me right now. And we want to make sure that you trust Christ and that you've given your life to him. So
so you can be in him. Let's pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come today, Father, in this holiday season. When the world has set aside a day to celebrate you, we do it all the time. We have 52 of these every year. Lord God, every Sunday, we want to lift up the name of Jesus. And every Wednesday, Tuesday, and Monday, and any other day, Lord God. So, Father, we come today. Somebody may have just freshly understood how you love them. That you loved us so much you knew we couldn't make ourselves clean. So you gave your son, Jesus Christ. You allowed him to be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. And Lord God, we come today to accept that free gift of salvation. Father, save us from wherever we are, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit today, Lord. Account our sins to Christ and his righteousness to us, that we might be dressed in his righteousness, covered from every unrighteous thing, Lord God. And Father, we know you made that provision because there's no other way that we can ever be right. But Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that you raised him out the grave. And we thank you that you gave him to be testified in due time to all the world. And Father, today we thank you individually that you help us to understand what you did. And Father, you said, whosoever believes in the name of the Son of God shall not be put to shame. You said, whoever confesses him, you will confess them, Jesus said, before your Father who is in heaven. Father, we come trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and believing that you raised him from the dead. You said, if you would confess with your mouth Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so, Father, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. We thank you for all that you're doing right now, Father. Live in us, lead us, guide us, and keep us, Father. Make us ready for that time when you come to collect the saints once and for all. We give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a hand for it. Amen. 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 At this time, we want to acknowledge Samish. Barso, okay. Amen. We thank God for her coming to visit us today. Amen. And we'd like to acknowledge any other visitors who are here. My sister back here with Angel. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Didn't say we had an angelic visit today. Amen. All right now. If you would like to have anything to say, you may do it at this time, either of you or anyone else that's here to visit today. Amen. Amen. St. Timothy welcomes you into the fellowship, and we bless God that you took time to come and worship with us today. Amen. And also, we'd like to extend to you the red carpet that if you'd like to become a member of St. Timothy, perhaps you're already saved, anyone, anywhere in the sanctuary, we give you that opportunity to make that known at this time. Amen. Well, we're always looking for more soldiers in the battle. Amen. We have a lot of areas that could use your help. Amen. So if you're here and you want to sign up with us today, please do so at this time. Amen. Come right now. Amen. We accept you. And remember, right now, anyone who desires to do so. Amen. We've given the opportunity. We don't want you to leave and say, they didn't even ask me. We'll make sure you know we love you and we want you to be with us. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for all of you today. We hope you got a good word from the Lord today. Amen. And just so you know, today is also Alicia's birthday back there. And we want to thank God for her. And who else had a birthday this month? I think somebody else did. Did Sister Robbie say she did? Or Sean? The 10th. Okay. Praise God. All right, God. Amen. Jason? Oh, yeah. And the first lady's birthday is coming up on the 7th, so we thank God for her. Amen, amen. So we just give God praise, and we are blessed and thankful to be here today. We have prepared a luncheon for in honor of the first lady, and we'll do that shortly after we dismiss today. Amen. And it is a blessing. You are welcome to stay along with us and dine if you like. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. So we want to thank the good Lord for letting us be here, and we'll go ahead and bless
the food and all that at this time so that we can be ready to